The views and opinions expressed during the BIO Radio Show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefootist Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot is the one that has lived a full-time barefoot lifestyle for over 20 years and victim's legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another great edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio broadcast. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I've lived a full-time barefoot lifestyle for over 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment. I'm also the new host of Freedomizer's newest emergency preparedness and survival program called Are You Ready?, heard right before the BIL show here on Saturday mornings. I also am a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have and the head of Barefoot is Legal, Victims Legal Services Department. Now, many of us have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, whatever experiences and issues you may have. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can get there by going to freedomizerradio.com. We also have the official home of the Barefoot is Legal radio program on Facebook. Just go to Barefoot is Legal Radio. You can send me some messages, ask your questions, share whatever issues you have there as well. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org, the official website for Barefoot is Legal, barefootislegal.org. We also have our Facebook page and our Facebook group. Again, on Facebook, check it out. Just go to Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after the broadcast. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle and you have not yet joined our closed group already, go check it out. Barefoot is Legal. But keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. No, no, no. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Every week, we talk about how the laws protect us. Every week, we talk about our experiences, how to overcome objections, what the law really says, how to use the law, and all the tools that we have available for you. Well, this week, I'd love to turn the program over. I would love to see what anybody else's thoughts are. I want feedback. I want to hear about your experiences. And I know we have some people on the phone lines. If you want to join us, just press 1, and I'll put you on the air. I know we always have some great stories from some of our frequent callers, and I'd love to hear them. Because this is what helps our listeners. This is what helps the barefoot community understand and learn. We learn from each other. We learn from our own experiences, and it empowers other members. So please feel free to join. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. And sometimes we talk about some of the crazy objections that we have. Well, the other week I was in a store and I was shopping. I go there quite often. And there was a new manager there. And he comes over and he goes, "Excuse me, can I ask you to put shoes on?" I said, "No, actually, why?" Here we go with the why. And I remember Proof would tell stories about some of the dumbest things that people say that you just look at them and you wonder how they made it this far in life. And then you hope that they do not breed ever again. In the middle of a store, I was told, "Oh, well, because it's more for safety, but I'm worried because sometimes there is..." Ready for this, folks? "Because sometimes there is deer urine on the floor." Deer urine, as in Bambi. Deer urine, as in from Bambi's little squirter. Deer urine on the floor. I felt like one of those gifts that gets passed around on Facebook where you just plant your head in your hand, a giant hand plant, and you just have to look at the keeper of the keys to the celery on this one, or the keeper of the deer urine. I have no idea why there is deer urine on the floor. Now, folks, very rarely am I caught off guard, and I still laugh in my head to this day about that. Deer urine. For over a week, it's still been in my mind. Every place I walk into now, I'm like, I can't wait. In my over 20 years, that is the most ridiculous objection I have ever heard. "Well, we just want to ask you to put shoes on because sometimes there's deer urine on the floor." And he was so serious with genuine concern that I'm walking behind some imaginary deer that just pissed all over this guy's store. I looked. I said, "Urine. Yep. Deer urine, sir, and we don't want you to step in it because it could be dirty." Why would a clothing store have deer urine on the floor? How is this possible? We are not in the middle of some backwoods country somewhere. I could understand if I was in poor sections of the Middle East somewhere, someone saying, "Watch out for the goat urine." But how I can go into a civilized, non-third world country? This is the USA. Oh, no, you may be listening to this like I'm somewhere out in like the boonies somewhere. No, quite a heavily populated, quite affluent area of the state that I live in. But yet, there could be deer urine. I asked him, "How often does that happen?" "Oh, it happens quite often." I would like to know who would my clothes in that store if the deer are pissing all over the place. How is this possible? I looked. I said, "Well, don't you have Sasquatch?" that gets rid of the deer overnight? Or do they just come out and graze on the carpet? And he looked at me. He goes, well, that sounds ridiculous. And I'm not going to argue with you. I said, good, please don't. Because this is just the most insane, the most loony cuckoo argument I could possibly have with anyone. There is no hope for some people. Then he asks, why was I barefoot? I said, oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Well, just be careful. I'm like, can I ask you a question? Why are there deer in the store and where are they? I think that they should open up a sporting goods section. May eliminate most of the deer population based on the clientele. I think if they started selling hunting equipment, tree stands, camouflage, shotguns, slugs, bows and arrows, I think that could eliminate their deer urine problem. And he was so serious. At first, I thought it was a joke. But I guess the store has a problem. I mean, maybe they just come in and they, it's like, oh, this is a nice jacket, man. Yeah. Oh, that looks very good. Here, put these on your horns. And a bunch of shirts or something on their horns with funny sayings on it. I mean, are these deer wandering the stores at night, pissing all over the place, trying on clothes? I'm just like, you have got to be kidding me. How is this even possible? Where did the deer come from? I mean, okay, I can look at it and be like, oh, well, maybe a mouse. Maybe a mouse gets in or something like that. But a deer? I'm just still trying to wrap my head around it to this day, and I wanted to share. What are some of the craziest objections that you've ever had? I want to hear about the stupidity that other members of the barefoot community may have had. You just want to sit there, and they're just like, how do you have deer? Deer! Deer! You just want to take that guy. Maybe there's something wrong with them. Here I am. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Anybody have anything to add? Tell me what your craziest objections were. I want to hear them. Because I'd love to know. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how does the law protect us against deer urine in a clothing store? Still can't figure that one out. Now, I'd probably be worried more about ticks in the clothing if there's deer wandering around the store. So I brought this up to the guy. I said, you're worried about me because of this deer, whatever. He goes, yes, it happens. So I figured, I want him to sell me on this idea that this is really possible. I said, well, what do you do about that? Is there anything? Now, I figured, in the back of my mind, I'm like, dear, in a clothing store. But he was serious about it. And I decided to dig into this a little bit. I said, well, what do you do about it? I mean, do you get an exterminator or a hunter? I said, what do you do? I said, what if a deer walked into one of your bathrooms? You should put a sign on that door that says, please be careful of human urine. Please be careful of human urine. Thank you, the management. Because apparently if there's deer in the store, there's people in the store, and they're selling clothes because it's a clothing store for people. But I did ask him. I said, what section do you sell deer clothing in? My doe is having a new baby, and I want to get it something cute that a little baby deer would wear. And he goes, well, we really don't sell clothes for deer. Now this is sounding ridiculous. The one that just told me, you get this? You're following this. Yes. I decided to entertain this one. Where do you sell deer clothing? Because my doe just had a nice little baby deer, and it wants to, I want to get something cute to wear. And he tells me that now this is sounding ridiculous. I said, well, if they're deer shopping in the store for clothing and they're urinating on your floors, don't you sell deer clothing? Why are they coming in here? I mean, do you have a salad bar or something that I don't know about? And the last goes, well, no, that's not really what I meant. I said, listen, I'm not looking for the salad bar. And I understand clearly, because I've been in here a bunch of times, that deer are not in here normally. And I know that you don't sell deer clothing. Or even little baby deer clothing. But do you see where this is starting to sound ridiculous, Mr. Manager? Now, a couple of the customers were already listening in on this one. They thought it was just as ridiculous as I did. And just as humorous as I was making this thing out to be with him. Well, eventually the manager just walked away. He goes, I'm sorry, I really can't continue this conversation, but you have a good day. Sorry to bother you. I said, well, thanks for telling me that deer piss all over your stores. Now, this one lady that was sitting there, she goes, did I really hear this right? They want you to watch where you walk because there could be deer urine on the floors? I said, yeah. I said, I'd be more worried about deer ticks in the clothing at this point if there really are deers in the stores. And I said, could you believe it? With all the deer that come in here to shop, they don't have little clothing for baby deers? She just rolled her eyes. I mean, even this other guy that was sitting there listening to this thought it was so ridiculous. And one older man, he just turned around and goes, I think he's high on something. He just kept shopping. I said, you know what? You're right. This guy must be tripping balls because I have no idea where this even came from. That has got to be one of the craziest objections I have ever heard. Deer urine on the floor of a clothing store. Don't even sell little baby deer clothing so I can buy it for the doe that just had a new baby deer that I know. I'll get it. What a shame. I should submit a company comment card that says, please carry baby deer clothing, since that's what I was there for, because I heard that the deer shop in the store all the time. I thought you carried deer clothing. Objections, folks. What do you get? What do you hear? What do people tell you? 319-527-6208. I don't know if the show gets any better than that one. I don't know. Kevins, I see you're on the line. I don't know if you want to chime in. Just press 1. I could put you on. You always have some good stories to share with us. But, of course, you hear private and public companies. So maybe it's a private company. Maybe it's a private club. Maybe the deer have a membership there. I mean, us humans are just like privy to be in the store. Maybe they have a whole separate section somewhere in the back. It's a private club with a deer shop. But on the way, they may have a little accident. Private company, though. Deer or no deer. Glad the manager was concerned that I would step in deer urine in the middle of a clothing store. I mean, it really didn't turn out to be much of a negative experience. I mean, just that something was said. But I think once he realized how ridiculous it sounds, I don't get it. And why would they keep the deer urine there to begin with? I mean, maybe it's a trap from the exterminator that's trying to catch the deer. I hear that hunters do that a lot. Musk and stuff like that, they have different scents and stuff that they could spread around to attract the deer. But I don't know. Not too sure. I'd love to look at the store policy and what it is, how they handle deer. Beats me. 319-527-6208 if anybody wants to join the show. We're coming up to a quick commercial break, though, at the top of the hour, so just to let you know. So if you want to join after the break, feel free. Always plenty to talk about here today, though. But I'm wondering if the deer had to wear shoes. Did the deer have to wear shoes? You know, I should have asked. Lost opportunity. Maybe I wasn't thinking enough. I think I was just too blown away by this stupidity dribbling out of this manager's mouth. But whether or not I stepped in deer urine or not, I can understand his concern for my safety, I guess. I don't know. But still, going back to what we talk about all the time, we wouldn't sue a business. We wouldn't sue a business if we stepped in deer urine or hurt ourselves, because we enjoy the freedom to live the barefoot lifestyle. We want to be able to be barefoot. And I don't think that this would be a case where it would even stand up in court. But you never know this day and age. You never know. I can't imagine. 319-527-6208 if you want to join us. Coming up to the top of the hour, which means you've got to pay some bills. I'm Nick Pierce. You're listening to Barefoot is Legal Radio. We'll be right back.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio, and be prepared.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. Well, welcome back. 319-527-6208. And, yeah, don't choke on your deer urine today. That's all I can say. 319-527-6208 is the way to be a part of the show. Just press 1. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org, the official home of Barefoot is Legal. And also, check out our Facebook page and our Facebook group. You can interact with us during and after the broadcast there. Of course, our closed group is not a fetish community, though, so this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We're here to educate and empower you and dispel the myths that going bare feet are illegal. Because it is legal, and that's what we are here doing, and that's why we try to share our information and our stories with you. Well, that was the weekly story of some of the insanity that happens when you live a barefoot lifestyle. With us here on the air, Kevin, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio program. How are you this weekend?
Everything's fine. It's a nice and quiet week.
Nice and quiet week. Just watch where you go in those stores.
Well, I honestly haven't had too much action this week other than, other than normal going into the grocery store and that was about it, you know. And doggone, then again yesterday, I don't know what it is about this freaking up and down Virginia weather, but yesterday was in the 70s, so I took advantage of it, just went running, you know. And for those people who are listening, I would advise to try barefoot running. You know, but don't do it all at once. Just do it very, very, very slowly. But do try barefoot running though.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of stories, books, and all that about the barefoot running movement. And you know, I mean, really, you use your foot the proper way when you run barefoot. You don't use that heel strike. You don't. You know, I mean, it's a whole different way of running. And Kevin, you're right with that. It's not something you just go out and run the marathon barefoot. The mechanics of your body need to kind of adjust a little bit with that, because that heel strike doesn't work the way you would normally do it in running shoes. That high impact, no good for the body style.
with barefoot running, and you could probably explain it more because you do it. I'm not much of a runner. But there is a different way of using the foot, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, and it's just like one of those five, what was it? You had the bottom five fingers came out way back when, you know, and some people were saying, you know, how they're not good for you. Well, people forget that, and I did my research on this too, that those vibrant five fingers are really supposed to emulate, they're really just minimalist shoes. It's supposed to emulate barefoot running. So it's like you can't do 4 or 5 miles in some regular Nikes and turn around the next day, do 4 or 5 miles in those vibrant five fingers. It doesn't work like that. You got to transition to that, into it very, very slowly.
Yeah. Yeah, the transition is.
Huh?
Oh, no, I was just saying, it's no different than the transition with always wearing shoes and being shod your whole life and then all of a sudden transitioning into the barefoot lifestyle. When you decide you want to go barefoot, there's also a transition period there, too. And I'm sure with barefoot running, even more so, just because of the way the foot is used and the way it strikes the ground. And you're right, with those five fingers, people thought that, oh, my God, this is great. I could run forever in these just like I did in my shoes, and it feels like I'm barefoot doing it, which I'm sure led to a lot of injuries if they thought that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, even with the barefoot walking or going barefoot completely, you know, yeah, it is. I do believe, for me, that is a slow step-by-step process, you know, something you don't have to rush into it. It's not like a light switch. You just be like, oh, I'm gonna stop wearing shoes for the rest of my life. No, it's not really that simple. It honestly isn't. You know, now of course, but there have been a lot of there's still stories on the page, the group, whatever. You know, some people are still, especially newbies, so yeah, this is my first time barefooting. Matter of fact, somebody posted that he was it last night or the night before that somebody posted that they went to Walmart barefoot for the first time. Like okay, uh-huh. Cool. You know, ooh. And I know how you dislike Walmart with a passion. You know, yeah, there's a lot of people who.
Where'd you hear that on this program?
probably another program. Probably the program that comes on tomorrow. But anyway, so while some people have had issues at Walmart, some haven't. I sure haven't had one issue at Walmart, even when I was especially wearing shorts. And it was visible, like completely noticeable that I was, you know. Matter of fact, I even did a I'm not sure if I did it once or twice or maybe it was probably more than that, but yeah, I actually did a live video from Walmart to the group.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, like I said, that kind of it still went well. I mean, I freaking, you know, passed the people at the front door or whoever, you know,
gatekeepers.
No. Huh?
The gatekeepers, or the guards of the castle.
Yeah, okay, gatekeepers. You know, and from that standpoint, you know, I had nobody coming to me or nothing like that. You know, it's just like a regular day at Walmart or regular day at Target. You know,
which is the way it's supposed to be.
I do sometimes, like when I haven't been someplace for the first time. You know, I still get those nerves a little bit just because I haven't been to this place before, and it just be like, you know, you probably expect some type of confrontation. You would expect somebody to say something. You know, at the same time, you dribble and shoot for and hope for the best, pretty much. And sometimes it turns out great, you know. But getting back to what you were just saying, dear urine and
yep.
clothing.
That clothing store.
See, that's just like some assistant store manager telling me at a grocery store, well, we can't have you barefoot. There might be dog poop on the floor in aisle six. And it's like, okay, where in the world, first of all, where in the hell would a deer come from?
Okay, you know what? I didn't take them seriously.
Look, if this store is in the city, which I'm pretty sure it is, okay, where will a deer come from?
I mean, okay, it is. I know. It's absolutely ridiculous.
My God.
I know. I told you. That's up there on the list of, you know, we hear Proof sometimes talk about, like, oh, well, you know, in the bank with the glass and the, you know, hoping a gold bar falls on his foot before he steps on glass. But, man, that is definitely one that I am pondering over. And I know that Richard is joining us today as well. So, Kevin, we're putting Richard on with us. Richard, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. I see you hanging in there. And I know you kind of popped in there during the barefoot running topic that Kevin was talking about. And I'm sure you have some, you know, some other things to add. So, hey, whatever. Welcome to the program. You're on with Kevin and I. Hope you're having a great weekend so far.
Yeah, so far. Hey, how you guys doing? Actually, yeah, that is why I called in, the whole thing about the whole Vibrams barefoot shoes. You know, that turned out to be kind of a boon to get people more in line with barefooting. But then the company and that whole movement just kind of dropped the ball and set us up, you know, for a big backstep when people started getting injured. You know, like you were saying, you know, you have these folks that would refuse to transition. They would just sit there and think, oh, running barefoot's better. I'll just go ahead and do that, not realizing they've been in shoes, which are basically casts for the feet, that don't allow a full range of motion. And, you know, they were getting injured after short distances and, you know, couldn't figure out why. And then when they go to their podiatrist to sit there and have their foot looked at, the podiatrist is going to actually say, well, how did you do this? Oh, well, I was running barefooted. And they're going to go, oh, you shouldn't do that, because, you know, most of podiatry are still old school mentality with health care and foot care, you know, and they're against being barefooted. And so, you know, yeah. A lot of people just immediately assumed, oh, well, I got injured running barefoot, so it's just some, you know, crazed fad, and, you know, and it set us back a lot. So it was like one of those things that just really irritated the heck out of me, you know, seeing that. And one of the things that I always tell people that when they transition into starting to be barefooted is go slow. You know, it'd be like deciding, hey, you know what? I've been a couch potato most of my life, and now I've realized that lifting weights is a great thing to do, and it's going to be good for my body, so I'm going to go run into a gym, and, oh, there's a bodybuilder. I'm going to follow his routine, and I'm going to do everything he does, and then you come out crippled.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to break the muscles down, and this is especially true of the feet. There's a lot of muscles, you know, and bones, ligaments, and tendons in the feet. Over one quarter of the body's bones, muscles, and ligaments are in the feet. And all of those joints and everything have to move and flex and, you know, slowly get torn down by use and then allowed to rebuild. And, you know, over time, they strengthen. And people just weren't allowing for that recovery process. And then, you know, just assuming, oh, well, barefooting's bad for you. It's like, no, overdoing it is what's bad for you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's that transition and just jumping into it too hard. I mean, two examples that I have on this are, I got one friend of mine. He wants to do the barefoot thing just like me. And we were going to go out to a flea market once. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to go barefoot with you, brother. I'm going to do this. I said, bring shoes with you. He goes, what? Are you feeling okay? I said, just bring them with you. You don't have to wear them. Just throw them in the back of the car, preferably in the trunk because they stink. Sometimes shoes just skeeve me. So I said, well, just throw them in the trunk. And this way you have them if you need them. And he goes, no way, you're not feeling okay. Are you sure? Am I really talking to Nick? I said, just bring them with you. I'll bring them. He goes, I want to do this barefoot with you, because he likes going out on this barefoot trip. But if we're going to be at a flea market for a long time, and, you know, I mean, it's in the middle of summer, and the pavement's going to be hot, and we're going to be walking around a lot, and then inside and outside and stuff like that, you know, I said, it's not to bring them with you if you need them if you go into somewhere with me. It's just that, trust me, you may want them. And he managed to get through the day. You could tell he was kind of struggling. He didn't want to put them on. He wanted to prove a point. But I told him at one point, I said, hey, man, if you want, you run to the car. I'll run to the car for you and get your shoes if you can't handle it. You know, he goes, no, I could do this. Oh, man, his feet were hurting. He didn't, you know, because you're right. You have to kind of build up that almost tolerance, that conditioning and all that for certain things. And another example, I have my nephew and two nephews. One of them's a lot older. Most of them spent their whole life in shoes, but one of them's a lot younger. And he likes to do the barefoot thing with me. So it's always one of those. With him, it's a little different. It's like, well, if you want to leave your shoes, leave your shoes. Because they're a lot younger, and they're going to adapt better and condition a lot faster than the older one. Whereas the older one, I'd be like, I'll take your shoes with you. You know, because if they're not used to it or something. So it's just kind of one of those things. It also depends on the age group. But yeah, when it comes to the barefoot running thing, I don't have a lot of firsthand knowledge on this. And this is probably something Kevin's and Richard, you guys could probably talk a lot more about for our listeners. So I'd like to hand that part over to you with your expertise in it, because I'm not a runner, fitness person or whatever. But like Richard, what you were saying, going to a gym, I got a friend of mine. He's built and he can lift weights. He's a big guy. If I were to go to the gym with him, I'm not going to follow his routine. I'd hurt myself. I'd literally be on the floor, and people were trying to be picking heavy pieces of metal up off of me. So.
The thing is, for me, when I first read about it a few years ago, you know, I was very skeptical. I was like, nah, you know, I don't think so. You know, a jump like that, you know, and for those listeners, y'all should get, as far as barefoot running, actually, I'll get to that point in a minute. So what I did was, you know, I had, the only way for me to see what it was about was I just had to try it for myself. So, no, I didn't go freaking mile, 2 miles, or 3 miles, or whatever, because I'm still running in regular sneakers. So what I did, this is going to sound a little bit crazy, I started out in an empty parking lot. Okay, it was a small parking lot on base. So I said, let me go ahead and give this a try. You know, so I just circled this small parking lot, and instantly I noticed a complete difference. You know, and what I didn't notice before is that when I was running in regular running shoes, you know, I didn't notice that I was literally driving my feet into the ground, and you know, and it was slowing me up, I guess, and I was using a lot more energy, you know what I'm saying, to try and keep a good pace and all that kind of stuff, you know. But then when I started barefoot running, I noticed that I had more energy, taught me how to step lightly and gently. You just gently lift your foot. You don't push off on your foot. You lift your foot. And I found out that also I had more control of my breathing. You know, because when I was in shoes, it was a lot of and junk like that. But barefoot running helped me to keep my breathing more under control. And so, and I felt like I got more energy. So now here it is today. I can do 5 miles. I could do more than 5 miles if I wanted to. But however, 5 miles is plenty. There's no need to go 10, 15 miles unless you're that type of person. I'm no marathon runner, you know. So 5 miles is plenty of cardio for the bare feet, at least in my estimation. And again, to my next point, people should get Kim Bob Saxon's book on barefoot running. It's a very good book, which I have not even really finished yet, but he has a lot of good tips. He's a well-known barefoot running guru, you know. And also, as far as barefoot walking, everybody should go ahead get go to runbear.com and get Michael Sandler's book and read his testimony of how he had a skiing accident. He bounced back from that. It's a very inspiring story. So transitioning to barefoot running, it takes time. Whether you do just like me and follow circle around a small deserted parking lot, or you go to the track and you just do like 150 feet, 100 feet a day, or jump like that, you know. But first, you have to get your feet used to being barefoot. First of all, walking, running, whatever, you have to get your feet used to being feeling the ground and stuff like that. And once you get used to it, then you can take it to the next step and the next step and the next step.
Yeah, and those are very good points. I think as far as not just the transitioning, but also the surface. You were talking about a parking lot, but then you mentioned something about a track. The tracks are made out of like a rubber. I think they just take old tires and they make track out of it, really, to a degree. And that could be something where, like, it still has that shock absorbency to it, but yet your feet are still getting used to that, feeling the texture of the ground. Because it's no different than when you start to walk, you know, out in areas, you know, and different surfaces when you're first transitioning, getting used to some of that and how your foot reacts to different textures. And in a parking lot, I mean, if it's all level surface and it's a fairly well-paved parking lot, assuming that it's not like 100 degrees out and it's blacktop and it's like completely like smoldering, it's like walking in a burning pit of hell, you know, it's probably much better for you. But yeah, I mean, just then getting used to just that contact that your feet have with the ground when you first start off. And also something that I thought of with what Richard was saying earlier, with the five fingers, it seems like it just gave people a false sense of security. And they thought that they were protected the way they are in running shoes, and they really weren't. And also with the like the different surfaces, or even like Kevin, what you were talking about, how you would get out of breath a lot, like if you were in shoes or something. I found that in sports shoes and running shoes and stuff like that, runners seem to be concerned with what's called a drop, which is almost like the weight of the shoe or something. But I think it's beyond the weight, just in my opinion. And you guys have read these books, and you're probably, Kevin, it sounds like you know a lot about this. And Richard, probably you have too. I haven't really researched the barefoot running thing. I'm not a runner. So I would think that it would have to do with not just the weight of the shoe that you're trying to carry with you, but also the lack of contact with the ground, and where you were talking about the energy that you get from having that contact. It also almost goes to like the whole grounding concept and being able to discharge and pick up energy, and it rebalances that energy part of your body. So I don't know. I just figured I'd throw that out there, see if that may have anything to do with it.
You know, not to contradict your thought process, it's a good thought process, but the drop of the shoe actually refers to the thickness of the sole, specifically the thickness of the heel and to where it thins down at the toes.
Oh, okay.
So you've probably heard the expression zero drop shoes. Basically,
yeah.
All that means is that the sole is one even thickness from heel to toe, which is actually ideal because we think about it when we're barefoot. That's the natural position our feet are in, is a zero drop. There's no drop from the heel being elevated down to the toes. And part of the importance of that is there's actually a guy that I wish he would gotten more into the barefoot movement. His name's Dr. James Stockson. And I don't know if you remember. I mean, this is going to be a little bit long, so, you know, interrupt me when you need to. But the whole thing with running – do you remember, like, back in the 70s and 80s when jogging and running became big. And it's about the time when all of a sudden, you know, we went from like just the Boston Marathon to a couple other marathons to there were marathons all along the country and millions of people were out running and, you know, they created the whole fad.
Yeah.
That running be what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what started happening is you had these folks that were high school athletes that were exercising and, you know, getting out of their sports, and then they fell into running because it was still exercise and satisfied that, you know, that endorphin rush that exercise provides a lot of folks. And so they'd start running. And so these folks, as they're transitioning out of their, you know, late teens into their 20s, into their 30s, they're running. They're putting on tons of miles and jogging. And marathoning was a big thing and a big social thing, so lots of people were doing it. And it was creating a lot of damage that they didn't realize from the impact of their foot strikes through their body and everything else. And nobody was bothering to look at the science of barefooting at that point at all. It was all about how to make a better shoe that absorbs heel strikes better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Eventually, everybody started hitting their right around 40 years old, and they'd be going into their doctors with chronic hip, knee, ankle, you know, lower back problems. And their doctor's like, well, you know what? Running's really not good for you. It's bad. It jars your body. You shouldn't be doing it. And so a lot of these people would give up running. Well, this doctor, James Stockton, you know, he's one of those, and I'm forgetting the type of doctor that, you know, studies bones and musculature. That's what he was. And when he was told by his physician, hey, you really should stop running, he was like, I don't want to accept that. I don't understand why. Because it's healthy for the body. It exercises the muscles. So long story short, he got together with some colleagues and a couple of engineers, and they looked at the way the human skeletal and musculoskeletal system is created. And one of the his engineer buddies immediately looked at the way the whole calf muscle is, the Achilles tendon, the soleus, that's the very bottom of the foot, and everything's, you know, structured. And he goes, wow, he goes, did you ever realize that the foot, look at that. He goes, your calf, it's like a shock absorber in a car. And he goes, and the way the soleus of the foot, the sole, is, he goes, it looks exactly like a leaf spring of a car.
Okay.
So that was like a light bulb moment for this James Stockton to sit there and start looking at it. And so he started doing studies with people, specifically all the indigenous people, like, you know, where we'd get all these great marathoners from Kenya and all the African countries. You'd have these kids that had grew up running barefoot in their countries and then would be picked up by Nike and Adidas and entered into marathons to go running. And so they started, you know, using these guys as the default to see, okay, how do these guys run while they're barefoot and what's different? And that's when all of a sudden he saw and realized that barefoot runners land forefoot or toes first. And when their feet plant, their heel doesn't necessarily always completely come all the way down. But regardless of whether it does land or not, it absorbs a lot of this shock of that dead weight impacting into the ground. And then what occurs is the calf muscle tightens up, basically stores energy, trying to prevent that strike. And then when that back foot pushes off, all that energy is quickly released. And so barefoot runners run more naturally with greater ease, less muscle use, and it's why superior form of running. And then, of course, you know, like the Christopher Dougal book kind of tied into that well with the hunter-gatherer outrunning our prey type of deal. But, I mean, that's the whole big thing, was that finding out that biomechanically our bodies are very clearly designed to be barefooted. You know, I mean,
that is very true. Do you want to hold that thought? Because we have the commercial break coming up at the bottom of the hour to pay the bills. And I'd love to talk more about that, because you got a lot of good insight on that. And also with, like, even Usain Bolt with Puma, they started redesigning shoes just for him alone. Another great runner, many medals won there. But we'll be right back. So make sure we hold those thoughts.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio, and be prepared.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless.
Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how shoeless can benefit you. For more information about shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
And there we go, coming up to the final part of the show, 319-527-6208. I'm Nick Pierce. Also with us this weekend, our callers, Kevins and Richard. I did want to say something. I noticed a commercial during the break, and there is a correction that needs to be made. So I just wanted to say that before we jump back into the program. Are You Ready Radio, which is an hour and a half before the Barefoot is Legal radio show, actually is not at the first Saturdays of every month. It broadcasts every week right before Barefoot is Legal. The reason why I'm so concerned about that one, because I'm hosting that one too. So, yes, make sure you tune in to Are You Ready? Emergency Preparedness and Survival Radio, Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival show. Dr. Prepper retired. Rich Fleetwood did the program for a while on Friday evenings. And he's also retired from the broadcasting part of his emergency preparedness survival career. So I am very honored to fill the host chair and take over the mic for that one. And yes, it'll be here every Saturday, not just the first Saturday of every month, the way it was originally planned. So that commercial will be updated for next week. And this is the third episode of Are You Ready that is broadcasted that I do live before the BIL show. So make sure you check that out. And don't forget about our other programs here on Freedomizer Radio that are just full of informative content, all different things from lifestyle, news, politics, government, you name it. The Freedomizer Radio Network, and that's what we are here, and that's what we are doing. Everything from making sure that we can empower you to live the barefoot lifestyle, to making sure that you're ready for emergencies, to even just real patriot news. And that's what Freedomizer is all about. Before the break, we were talking about the running, the barefoot running, and what shoes have done, how they've harmed people, and the benefits of running barefoot. And we have two great callers with us today, Kevins and Richard, both longtime listeners, frequent callers. Always glad to have you as part of the program. If anybody wants to chime in, 319-527-6208. Well, gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Hey, what's going on?
Good to be back.
Sorry about that. Long-winded back into the program after the commercial break, but I just realized that during the break that there was a mistake in one of the commercials. It was an old reel that was done when the program first was conceptualized before broadcast. So Are You Ready is every Saturday, not just the first Saturdays anymore. So,
all right. Sweet.
So, So anyway, before the break, we were talking, and Richard, you were talking about a lot of stuff, and I didn't want to cut you off, however, because of time constraints and advertisers, and no one dropped off the big suitcase of money yet. We had to. So if we want, let's go ahead with where we were. And
we're going to get that big suitcase of money someday.
One day we will. You know what? If someone brings it to the studio and says, here you go, here's the millions of dollars you need to keep the broadcast going and pay for the group and keep the bills running at Freedomizer and BIL, I am good with that. I will. I'll split it if they give it to me first.
I'm not sure where I wound up getting cut off at, but I think most folks are, you know, hopefully got the basic message, you know, for barefoot running and even and with just transitioning into the barefoot lifestyle for, you know, any, you know, folks that are new to it. It's take your time, listen to your body, realize that with, you know, what 26 bones of the feet and 33 ligaments and joints, that those have basically been atrophied and not used, and they're going to need time. You know, you're taking a couch potato and slowly starting to exercise those couch potato feet to being able to move and flex, and you need to allow them time to recover and heal and strengthen. And it's really actually, you know, not to discourage anybody, but it's a lengthy process. You know, depending on your age, you've spent, you know, possibly decades or more in shoes, and you're expecting within a matter of days or weeks to undo all that damage that wearing shoes has caused.
Yeah.
And allow the time for your body. You know, I tell a lot of folks that I've gotten into barefooting, I tell them, don't look at this as, you know, weeks, days, or months. You got to look at it as about a year or more of regular barefooting before you're going to actually really notice a huge change. Because one of the other aspects is not just the bones and the ligaments and the muscles of the feet that need to change, but the soles of the feet, which are very, very, the skin is very well designed to adapt and to thicken and become this, you know, what I like to refer to as a living leather. But that even takes time as the older layers of skin have to slough away and the newer skin that's being used and stretched and, you know, impacted builds up. And a lot of people just don't, you know, recognize that there's all these various things that the body wants to do, is capable of doing, but it needs the time to do it properly. And too many people rush it and they get injured and they think that, oh, well, this is bad barefooting. It's like, no, it was bad practice on your part to sit there and think you could do something that is currently beyond your atrophied ability.
That's so true. It's almost like, you know, while you're talking, I'm thinking about the scene from, I think it was Kickboxer or one of the Van Damme movies or something, where he's sitting there going through all the intense training. And he has that big pit, you know, the big bowl of fire or hot coals or something. He sticks his hands in there and he keeps going. And he sticks his hands in there and keeps going. I mean, feet are almost the same way. It's all conditioning, no matter what it is that you're doing. Almost looking back at the whole bodybuilding thing, too. I mean, like, people work up to that condition. People work up to that ability. And going barefoot is no different. And Kevin, you've been doing a lot of barefoot running. So have you had any transition from, and how long have you been doing it, Kevin's?
For the most part, it was like since 2013. Like I said, it took me, you know, like you were saying, I had to build up slowly, you know what I'm saying? Of course, at the same time, I was still running shoes. You know, but at the same time, I had to slowly transition. So, like I said, I started from the empty parking lot, like I said earlier. Then it went to the track. Of course, the track that I was running on, it was all concrete. Then when I switched locations, the track that I'm running now on it is rubber. Now and then, sometime later, I actually started running in the street on base. That is, which is something that I don't normally do. You know. Now of course, running on the asphalt like that, for me, it was kind of irritating just because my feet, you know, were still tender, you know what I'm saying? Because I still have to, you know, wear shoes to work and all that other kind of stuff. You know, my feet don't have that thickness, that living leather, you know what I'm saying? So basically, I mean, it's easy to run on smooth surfaces, you know, and I think Ken Bob said it best, or one of his videos, I believe it was, you know, to get your feet toughened, you know what I'm saying, you got to run on the hard surfaces, on the rough surfaces, actually, I should say, you know.
Yeah.
See, anybody can run on grass. But for me, grass slows me down, and I really, really detest running on grass, you know. So that's why I prefer to run on the hard stuff. You know, like I said, it's easy to run easier for people to run on grass just because it's so nice and soft. But running on grass is not going to toughen your feet up, I don't think.
That's,
you know,
true.
It's not,
and
it's
I think that's... Yeah, no, what's interesting about that, though, is when I run, and I'm not saying that I don't run, part of, like, you know, just different routines I do, like different exercise and conditioning, stuff like that. I've noticed that on grass, or even just plain or something, like you go to a park, or you're just screwing around with some friends, you run on cement, or you run on more solid earth, you have more traction versus grass. It's almost like grass, you just almost tear up underneath you like a football player's cleats, you know, sometimes, or you just don't have traction at all. You know, and of course it depends on how wet the grass is. But even dry, fresh grass, I don't think you get as much traction as you would on a solid surface. But it's funny that you mentioned that, with the, you know, conditioning your feet and walking on grass and all that doesn't necessarily toughen your feet up. We have a sponsor on the show called Serenity Rug. And not to knock a sponsor, but I always find it funny because it's like, okay, if I'm spending most of my time in an office, you know, I almost wish I didn't have a Serenity rug with that grass feel. I almost wish I had like a Serenity slab or something like that, like a concrete or rock something or other that I can walk on all the time. Just because after a while of being in an office for so long, it's almost like your feet do deplete in the integrity that even after all the years that I've been going barefoot, it's almost like if you walk on a rug and, like, you know, the chair mat or a hard floor or something like that, they still don't have the it's almost like something depreciates when you end up going out onto some of the concrete surfaces after a while. So I actually need a Serenity slab of, like, concrete or something under my desk when I'm at work.
Wow.
How would you like to toughen your feet up and be more endurant? Well, Serenity Slab is there. You go. If Serenity Rug is listening, make a Serenity Slab for me, or I'm going to chop your commercial. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what? I bet actually, if they made like a rug that instead of had a grass feel, had like a smooth river stone pebbled surface to it.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Achieve that same thing, because you could rub your feet on it and get almost like a little reflexology from the hard, smooth stones.
Yeah,
but it would
still
feel comfortable to your feet.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That idea to them and get more money out of them when they start selling those.
You're right. I'm gonna pitch them Serenity Slab with the concrete slab that you keep under your desk, but artificial, so it's not as heavy, so that you can move it around with you. You know, I mean, you can move it over, you know, you can bring it home with you and do dishes or something. You can stand on it while doing dishes or something. But also, I think for some of the more hardcore seasoned barefooters out there, we need Serenity Glass. I mean, that would be even better.
It sounds like that Saturday Night Live sketch where they were doing a skit on toy manufacturers, and one of the toy products was angle glass.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Mainway. Okay, Mr. Mainway, what do you got? Oh, well, this year for Christmas, we got something great. It's Johnny Mainway's bag of glass. Yeah. Yeah, shards of glass. We just break it up. We put it in a bag. And this is great. Little Tommy's bazooka, too. You know, I mean, oh, yeah, you could just picture that one. All the old Saturday Night Lives are great. You know. Yeah, no, Serenity Glass, Serenity Slab, great components for the Serenity Rug sponsor that we have on the program. So, yes, if you want that natural feel of grass under your feet, at your desk or something, go for Serenity Rug. But we definitely need Serenity Slab and Serenity Glass. For those that want to train for a freak show, you know, that's perfect. Serenity Glass. How would you like to feel like you're in a circus while walking on what seems like broken glass? Perfect. I don't know, in the contracts, am I allowed to make spoof commercials? I mean, we have Shoeless infomercial. We have the Shoeless commercial. Can I make spoof commercials for our real sponsors? No, I don't think I can. But they probably like it by the time I'm done with it. Okay, we'll give it a shot. I'll run it by the big boss and see, you know.
I got Serenity Rug at my house right now, and I was at putting my feet on it more than I like putting my feet on the carpet.
Do you feel more creative and relaxed?
Well, I mean, you know, at first when I first got it, you know, saying it was like crap. What is it about this rug? You know, so now I've just like completely gotten used to it now.
It's great.
First, I think that if I had a choice, I would probably put a bunch of these rugs freaking all over my house, all on top of the carpet.
You know, I had a conversation with the proof about the sponsor, and they actually were thinking about tiles and rug and flooring for Serenity Rug. So. I'm just ready to put a bunch of concrete over a wooden floor in my house. That's me. All over the office, over the floor at home. Serenity slab, wall to wall.
Yeah, true. But see, I think the one place that you really would not put is in the kitchen. Or the bathroom. Every place else is fine.
That's true. Yeah. Because we wouldn't want Serenity Rug in the bathroom. You know what? I think it would be one of those things. If the deer ever come over to visit, they'd start grazing on your Serenity Rug. And that would just attract deer urine into your own home. God forbid they're done clothes shopping.
If you got pets, I mean, especially dogs, they might, I would say a dog or a cat could probably scratch it up and freaking piss on it. But, you know, I wouldn't want them to do that. You know, especially since cats got a litter box
Kevin's, I'm not worried about so much the domesticated animals. I'm worried about the ones that you normally find in a clothing store that would think that they're in like a pasture somewhere. And they'd come into your home and just urinate all over your Serenity Rug. Ever since the one with the manager, I'm really worried about deer urine now. You know, coming into like stores, trying on clothing, urinating all over the floors in the clothing store.
You're exactly right. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I got a zebra tied to my car right now. So I'm about to take it for a walk. Maybe I took it to Dollar General and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You should. And then I bet you if I walk in behind you after you and your zebra were there, they'd tell me that, be careful because there's zebra urine all over the store.
Yeah, them damn zebras, them freaking deers. I mean, don't people hunt deer? The last time I checked, you know, I mean, where on this side of the, I mean, last time I checked, I mean, deer is really part of wildlife. You're not going to find wildlife in the city. So, I mean,
you know what I should do?
Goodness.
You know what I should do? I got some buddies of mine that hunt, okay? Next time they bag a deer, I want the skin. I want the whole thing. I'm going to bring it to that clothing manufacturer, or the clothing store that I was in. I'm going to tell the manager, hey, would you mind? This is one of my new sponsors. It's called Serenity Deer. Can you just put it by your door for people to walk on when they come in? And this way they won't. And this way they won't urinate in your store. They're going to see one of their dead relatives sitting there for everybody to walk on. And you know, Serenity Deer could also be a great deterrent. And wouldn't your deer customers like to feel more creative and relaxed, all while urinating on your floor? Well, Serenity Deer is perfect.
For me, yeah, I thought you were going to take that deer skin to him and tell him, "Hey, that deer that's been pissing all over your floors, here it is. I caught him."
Yeah, I caught it.
You know,
I caught it.
And for that matter, how is it that you even allow a deer into your front door?
I don't know. I would think it has something to do with the health regulations or something like that. I have no idea why the deer is still urinating in the stores, because I'm sure the health department frowns on that.
Well, the deer had shoes on, probably.
Probably.
So basically, this store owner is telling us that deer piss on the floor is a lot less sanitary than our bare feet. Holy crap.
I don't know.
Some people who doesn't do their research.
I have no idea. If I was the store manager, I'd yell, it's coming right at us, shoot. Boom. We got it, Jimbo.
And you know what? This also goes back to my sense of logic. You know, when I say if there's a hazard somewhere in your store and you tell me, oh, there could be this and there could be that, why are you not sending somebody to go clean it up? Okay.
Exactly. And why they would sit there and tell you, watch out for deer urine, instead of sending someone out with a mop or something to clean it up. I mean, if this is really true, is beyond me. But anyway, we're out of time. Make sure you check out the official home of Barefoot is Legal, barefootislegal.org, our Facebook group, our Facebook pages, and all that. Check out exclusive content. I'm Nick Pierce. Thanks for joining me on Barefoot is Legal. Until next time, keep them bare, live free. And I'd also like to thank all of our callers for calling in. Richard, Evans, and everybody else listening, glad you joined me. Have a wonderful weekend.